Amen, and be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter number 8 is where we are. We are on lesson number 22 of our study of Revelation. And the title of that is The Assault Upon Mankind. And we are under section 4, The Awful Judgments of the Book, covering Revelation chapter 6 through 11. And so we are in Revelation 8. And our memory verse for this lesson, lesson 22, is Revelation 9:6. And it is kind of an amazing verse, really. But before we do that, let's go ahead and see if anyone needs lesson number 22. Brother Collins is back there ready to pass those out. Lesson 22, we've been on this a couple of weeks now. And we will not finish today, I promise you, because I know how many notes I've written down. And there's every time I have dot, 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 that means it's an opportunity to preach a little bit. So you never know how that's going to go. But, you know, it is interesting in our times and as we look across the world, these are certainly troubling times. And this is what the book of Revelation is about. It's about a very troubling time. It's a time that we call the tribulation. It is a seven-year period where God pours out his wrath upon especially Israel because they rejected Christ and because they fell. And this is nothing new in the Bible anyway. God deals with his people. God has always dealt with his people. But this seven-year period, the tribulation period, we have already talked some about it. As again, we have to understand in the book of Revelation, there is what we use the word subjective a lot. That means the Bible doesn't say for sure, so we speculate a little bit. We kind of try to guess and kind of try to figure things out, and it certainly can be discussed. I have people all the time come, well, Pastor, now you thought that this is what this, and here's what I think, and the truth is we can. You know, we really can, because there are some things God does not say. We, again, understand John is seeing these things as a man in the early church age, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, and God's revealing things to him, and so we always have to consider that, and there were not words to describe, not the same words that we would have, although I think we have a good idea that this is an assault, and that's the title, The Assault Upon Mankind, that it is a very, very difficult time. You may be going through a difficult time. I do want to remind you that the Lord Jesus is our strength. He is our shelter in a time of storm. And so I want to remind you that he is our God. Lean on him. Let him take care of your need. Revelation 9:6 is our memory verse. Again, a tough verse, a verse that is so hard for us to imagine. And yet, as we read the judgments unfolding right here in the scripture, we certainly can understand it. Let's go ahead and say this together. First, we'll say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 9:6, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6, and let's say it again. Revelation 9:6, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. Father, I pray that you will help us now to study your word in the right attitude, have the right spirit. Certainly, I ask you to help all of us to open our hearts for what you want to teach us today. And certainly that we would be better Christians as a result of this time. It is hard for me to imagine a day, days, where men will seek death and not even be able to find it. It'll be so bad they'll desire to die, and they can't die. And so it is hard to imagine, and yet we recognize that in hell, It is like that, and it'll always be like that. Help us to warn people. Help us to, anyone here today, make sure that they are going to heaven and that they're saved. And God, I pray that we would settle that in our own hearts and then do our very best to tell and warn everybody that we come across about the awfulness of hell. Please bless now. This time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have looked at several things here. We have in Revelation chapter 9, and I'm sorry, chapter 8, we have the the trumpets are about to sound, and we started with, I believe, verse 7, the puzzling precipitation at the sound of the first trumpet, and the puzzling precipitation. We have already dealt with that. Number two, we saw the molten mountain, Revelation 8, 8 and 9. And this was the second angel sounded. And so the second trumpet has sounded. And that has taken place. We looked at number three, the wormwood waters, Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11. And again, we're seeing major portions of the earth decimated as far as the land and the salt water, the sea, and now in Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11, the wormwood waters, we see the fresh water being affected. And again, very, very difficult time. In our minds, we have to understand the thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people affected during this time. And so, again, a very, very difficult judgment taking place on fresh water. I mean, honestly, when is the last time you got a drink of water and you just said, thank you, Lord, for this water? You know, we just kind of take it for granted. We go downstairs to the drinking fountain, we'll drink, I've got a glass of water here, and before the morning service, I'll drink that water. It's got ice in it, and as far as I know, there's no poison in it. But Glenn, watch that now that I've said something. But we do. We take it for granted. We drink water and kind of, you have to understand, there will be millions of people that will drink water and they will die. The Bible says that. And so it will be devastating. And again, in my thinking, as I talked about last week, one-third of the fresh water, some have said the Great Lakes would be a place that perhaps this wormwood meteorite, comet, whatever you want to call it, would hit. It would bury itself down into the ground, get into the fountains of the waters, and the fresh water all in, you know, just a huge area of North America would be affected. And again, poisonous waters. And if you realize that you couldn't go 500, 600, 700, 1,000 miles to get fresh water, it'd be devastating. And it will be. It will be devastating. So then number four, we talked about Revelation 8 and verse 12, talked about this last week as well, and that is the heavenly hindrances and an amazing assault on time, I believe, here. And we spent some time talking about how the, I say this was last week, actually it was 2 weeks ago because I spoke to the shepherds last week. But anyway, what I believe, and again, this is something, you know, a person could argue, and I have no problem with that, but I believe that this is an issue of time, literally where the earth speeds up, the rotation speeds up, and instead of a day being 24 hours, the day would be 16 hours long. And there is scripture to back that up as to God prophesying that this would take place. And so usually it takes 24 hours for the earth to rotate once. And in this case, with this trumpet, one day takes 16 hours instead. The rotation speeds up. Total, complete, and utter chaos would ensue, as it was predicted when the year 2000 was coming, if you remember, the Y2K, what was going to be a crisis that never was a crisis. So, but if you can imagine, no clock would be right, and that would be just, it'd be unbelievable, and what a mess. So, again, to put everything in perspective, these judgments of God, these things taking place, are going to be devastating on the face of the earth. It is going to be a very, very difficult thing. And so it says that verse 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So four trumpets have sounded. Four trumpets have sounded, and there's been an assault on the plant life, trees, green grass. There's been assault on the sea. That's one-third of either one-third of one ocean or one-third of all the salt water. Again, the interpretation there, it could be anything. But it's a huge amount of water. One-third of it has been rendered useless, and life within it has died. Then there was the assault on the waters, and then there's the assault on time. And so four trumpets, and the earth is in total chaos. Four trumpets, and those who are still on the earth are in total chaos. And so when this warning takes place in verse 13, when this woe takes place, it's almost like, how can it get worse? And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. The warning of woe. So I put this at about at or near the middle of the tribulation. The Bible does not say. There are many, many charts, many different pictures of what all happens at different times of the tribulation. We know in the middle of the tribulation, the covenant is broken. There is a covenant broken. The Bible says that. But as far as these trumpet, these judgments and when they all take place, my guess would be toward the middle, at or near the middle of the tribulation. And so again, this is 3.5 years in. Remember the chaos that takes place when the rapture takes place. It's going to be chaos. The Antichrist will have to lie. The Antichrist news service will have to lie. The Antichrist internet service will have to. I mean, there will be a lie because all the Christians are going to be gone. Boom, blink, gone. Now, again, that has to all be explained. The Bible says that God will send a strong delusion that people who rejected Christ, they'll believe that lie. They'll believe it. And so it's going to be a good one, all right? It's going to be a good lie. But the world's going to be chaos. And I've already mentioned some of my thoughts when the rapture takes place as far as the United States of America. If the rapture took place today, really the rapture could take place 1,000 years. We don't know. You know, there is no predicting that. So now everything's bad. Everything's chaos. The earth is not like anything we could even imagine in our own minds. I don't even think Hollywood could put together what the earth is going to be like during this time. I don't think our minds can conceive of how bad it's going to be on the earth. Again, politics will be as usual. Leaders will speak. Leaders will make promises. All of that is going to take place just like it always does and always has. And the world is going to become because I think of all that is going on, it is going to become the one world government. It's going to have the one world currency. It's going to have all those things. But people are suffering. People are dying. Bloodshed is everywhere. Graves are being dug all over the place. And now we have this warning that it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Three woes, three times, it's very significant of something that is, you know, you better pay attention to this. If I say it three times, I mean this is a bad thing. Whatever it is that is said three times, woe, 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 it is a bad thing. That also, not only is it emphasized as three times, but there are three more things, three more trumpets yet to sound. And of course, we know the third trumpet ushers in seven vials or bowls, which are other judgments of God. And so we have some terrible things coming. three woes to the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, so the plant life, the seas, the fresh water, time. And now these next three are more direct on men. Again, this is God dealing with man. And these three are yet to sound. Now again, you've watched chaos take place. Okay, the seals, which we talked about weeks ago, you know, the seal judgments, those were simply man being man and chaos taking place. These trumpet judgments is obviously God is putting his judgment in this. And so we have three more things that are yet to sound, it says. And again, the warning is this, it's going to get worse. In fact, it's going to get so bad that our memory verse is that men are going to want to die. It's going to be so bad. Now, being a pastor, I've counseled people who want to die. I've counseled people who either have tried. I mean, I cannot think of all the times I've sat across from someone who had the fresh cut marks on their wrist and, you know, went to the hospital just in time. I mean, I've counseled lots of people like that. And they want to die. Now, sometimes I get to talking to them and you know, they didn't really want to die. They just wanted somebody to pay attention. I understand. But there are people just want to die. You know, I always give them the scripture, Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. God has a purpose for you or you would die. You know, you never, never should have to take your life because God will take it when it's time. Well, you know, God's done with me. Well, if he's done with you, he'll take you. You never have to take your own life. But these people are so miserable, they just want to die. And so we know it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And so three more trumpets are yet to sound. As I read it, I've been studying this, and you'll see as we get to these judgments, we will go into the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. There will be this onslaught of demons. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know anything more dirty and nasty than demonic activity. There isn't anything. There's nothing more chilling to me than demonic activity. You know, Hollywood is making a fortune off of what they call demonic activity, which I think is, there is demonic activity, but they make kind of a show out of it. There isn't any show. Isn't anything fun about it. Isn't anything good about it. I don't know of anything more nasty. My first experience that where I knew it was demonic activity. Now, obviously, I know there's demonic activity going on right now, right here. You say, well, not in our church. Oh, yeah, there's a fight going on. The angels fighting. The battle taking place around you and to get you here and all of that. I mean, it's war. I'm telling you, it is an invisible war. And it's going on right now. And I mean, it is a relentless battle. And I believe it's all around churches. I mean, it's, you know, where the gospel is being preached. But anyway, but my first experience was when back in the early 80s, I'm going to say 83, 84, right around there, back then, there was a lot of talk about backmasking. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about backmasking? Backmasking, it was said that the rock groups would put music on a record. Remember records? They're round. Anyway, but they would put music on the record, but they would also put a message backwards. And so even though your brain heard the mess, you couldn't say what it was because going forward, it sounded like... But you were still getting it, and your brain was still getting that message, and it was affecting you. There's been all kinds of subliminal messages used in advertising for years. Years back, when television, you know, is just starting out, and people figured this out, subliminal advertising in movies that would, and this is all fact. I mean, you can look this up, where a movie is showing, and every 10th frame or something, they had popcorn or they had pop, soda, Coca-Cola or something. About every 10, you couldn't see it. You're watching the movie, you're watching the preview, you're watching whatever, and you can't see any of that. But if they proved that if after every so many frames you saw popcorn, when there was an intermission, what'd you do? You went and bought popcorn. Because in your brain, you're thinking, man, I got to have some popcorn. And they found out people really could be affected that way. It's amazing, you know. And subliminal messages, it's now, I mean, it's probably so advanced, we just can't even imagine. But anyway, I'm not trying to scare you. That's kind of old news. But then the understanding was that there were satanic words, messages, even advertising and stuff, not necessarily satanic, in some of the songs. And so one of the groups that was very big on that, and my mind just went blank. I can't even remember the group. There were so many that were big in it. The Beatles were huge in that back in those days. Why? Isn't that amazing? Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones. And so we had a family that had just gotten saved in our church, and they were asking about music and stuff. And I told them about that. I said, some of these groups put some satanic messages on the back of their records. I said, sometimes the front of the record's bad enough, you know, some of the messages that are there, but I said, this is all demonic activity. And I said, you have to understand this is going on. And so they said, well, we have some records, and we have a record player that you can turn backwards by doing it with your hand. And so we had, I'm going to say there were maybe five couples. Our church was brand new. We just started. Most of them were new converts. My wife and I had been saved the longest of anybody there. And so we all gathered together, and we set up this record player, and we took that record, and we spun it backwards. This is my first experience where I knew demons were there. I knew it. And I was, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I'd never done it before. I knew that it was, you know, people talked about it. And, you know, sometimes people would try to sensationalize it. And they would say, and you can clearly hear this person saying, and it was like, and I think, I don't know about that. Well, I got news for you. What we did, you could clearly hear moaning and wailing. And as soon as we started, now, Brother Hollins, I'm telling you, as soon as we started that, the room dropped 30 degrees. And I mean, I mean, chills were going down my spine. And it was as clear as ever, a voice saying, hate heaven, live in hell. But it wasn't said like that. It was like, hate heaven, live in hell. And words like that, and we stopped, and everybody's, their eyes are just huge. And we knew we were not alone. Now, I'm telling you, you're not alone now. Praise God, we're never alone, amen. But I'm telling you, as we started that thing up, it was as if hell came into that room. And I know hell's a whole lot worse, but it was demonic activity. And we were right there in the middle of it. And that guy, the guy that owned, he said, what do I do? I said, well, I'll be honest with you. What I would do is I would take all those records and I would burn them right now. And he did. And I have never, you know, I mean, I was amazed at how that all took place. Now, since then, I have dealt with several people who were demon-possessed. And I try to kind of avoid that. To be honest with you, there was a time we dealt with two or three people in a row, and you know, people were hey, you know, I've got a cousin that, and I said, look, I don't want to deal with this. If somebody comes to our church and they've got a problem like this, I'll but I'm not a demon buster. I'm telling you, there's nothing as nasty. I mean this with all my heart. You say, I'm kind of curious about that. Stay away from it. There is nothing as nasty. People do Ouija boards. People do seances. Young people will do a seance, and you know, and oh, you know, this is, and levitation, all that. You know, well, what lifted their body? If you could see what lifted their body, you wouldn't want to be anywhere near it. You know, you say, does that stuff really, it's true. I mean, it is true. That, sure, there's a lot of fake stuff too. This stuff is real stuff. And as we get into this in chapter 9, we go into the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, which is hell, as far as what we understand, we go into the bottomless pit, where one of the judgments, one of these woes, is to unleash thousands and thousands and thousands of demons upon this earth, and it is a warning right here in verse 13. It is bad. But it's going to get worse. Now, I say this because you say, how do people deal with that? Well, our memory verse says they wanted to die. That's how they deal with it. They wanted to die. But understand, in hell, it never gets better. I want you to just let that settle in your heart and in your mind. In hell, there's not a good day. There never is a good day. There never will be a good day. Okay, we have bad days, right? You may be in the middle of one right now, right? We have bad days. But there's always hope. In fact, for the Christian, there's always hope. Amen? I mean, we always know that it's going to get better. Worst thing that happens to me is I die. Well, and that becomes the best thing that happened to me. Because I go to heaven. So, this time on the earth, in the what appears to be around the middle of the tribulation here, where these woes are given, it's bad, but it's about to get worse. You have to understand that the mentality of, I want to die, I can't take anymore. It can't get any worse. But that's how it is in hell. If you're here today and you're not saved, you do not want to go to hell. Please get saved. As we enter this bottomless pit, we really won't enter it. Somebody came to see me, and it may have been, I don't even remember now, but I was in the middle of kind of going over my notes for today, and this was yesterday, and they came in, and they said, how you doing? I said, I feel real smoky. I really feel smoky because I've been thinking about that pit and that smoke billowing out of there and belching out of there with demons all within it. And if you're not saved today, you need to get saved. We're going to have the Lord's Supper in a little while. And we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, and we talk about his body being hung on a cross and his blood being shed to cover your sins. Why wouldn't you call upon the Lord Jesus to save you? Why wouldn't you ask him to save your soul? He died for you so you could be saved. Wow. I mean, because in hell, there's not an opportunity. It's not, oh, I made a mistake, I'll make up for it. In hell, there is no making up for it. If you made a mistake, it's that you didn't get saved the last opportunity you had. And you can still get saved, but in hell, you don't get another opportunity. And so the worse never gets better. And to me, the warning is this: you know, we see trouble coming. We see issues with politics and wars and rumors of wars, and we're all getting older, and our health is not what it used to be, and we get a little frustrated. But we have the blessed hope. Amen. I mean, this isn't it. Glory to God. Things will get better, and the better is going to be for all eternity for the believer. And so we come to chapter 9, which, by the way, it takes all of chapter 9 to describe two trumpet judgments that are devastating. Devastating. In chapter 9, we get into demonology. Chapter 9, we talk about demons. Now, there are some that would say that these are not demons. They would say it's John seeing somebody with a jet pack flying around or helicopters. And again, you may be right. I'm not going to fight you, but I don't know of any jet packs or helicopters coming out of the bottomless pit. I do not know how that is possible. Clearly, the scripture says the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This is the bottomless pit that God tells us clearly in his scripture, the abyss. It is the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. In our minds, can we see that? Can we see the opening of a furnace and all of a sudden black smoke belches forth out of that furnace? I have gone through this in my mind. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Maybe you could imagine this if you watched, Mount St. Helens? I don't remember when that was. It's been a while ago. When that erupted and smoke billowed out of that. And literally, if you were there, I mean, the sun is blotted out. There was another volcano recently. I can't think of where it was. But anyway, you can begin to imagine. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. These he calls locusts, but they're not like any kind of locust anybody has ever seen. It's simply the way John describes it because of how they looked to him. I believe they're demons. Now we have seen, as we study the scripture here in Revelation, we have seen man without God's influence with the seal judgments. We saw clearly what man is like without the influence of God and God's people. Total chaos. Death, war, famine, pestilence, you name it, that's how it is. Stealing, arson, every kind of sin imaginable taking place. We saw that. Man without God's influence. Now we see the wrath of God. And one of the things that is part of God's wrath is to unleash demons on man. Isn't it interesting? To me, it's so interesting. There are people that, you know, oh, I'm a Satan worshiper. If you only knew. If you only would think through what you're saying. But to be honest with you, now don't get me wrong on this. Much of our nation is Satan worshipers. Because of what worship is. And it's in our music. It's in our what we call our humor. It's in our fun, you know, that we call fun. So much of it, to be honest with you, many are Satan worshipers. The Ouija board, we all that's just a harmless. It's not a harmless thing. It is not a harmless. It's very real. Oh, come on, you know that thing. I know it moves, but there's some kind of a trick to it. Yeah, the trick is you. You were tricked. Because it does move. And it is pretty accurate. Now, it's not totally accurate because the devil can't read your mind and the devil doesn't know the future. But the devil knows a lot of answers. He has a pretty vast intelligence network with the millions and millions of demons that are everywhere. I'm getting so far out of my outline, it's pitiful. Ushers, I need you to come. We need to get some money. Amen? Ushers, hello? Ah, there they are. All right. The God's wrath here, okay? So try to imagine, right? There are demons here. Okay, we talk about demons flying around all over the place, angels flying around, they're fighting with each other. You know, here you are, you're falling asleep at the wheel, and your guardian angel, and I believe this, I do believe this, you know, is smacking you upside, whatever, you know, trying to get you awake, but the demons are trying to stop it, and you know, all that kind of stuff goes on. I believe that. That's why every time you go somewhere, you know what, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a safe trip. You know, some of us, our guardian angels are tired. Amen? I mean, because we get ourselves in more trouble. But again, all that's going on. So you have those. But then you have demons that are in a pit. And they've been in that pit for a long, long time. Chained up. What do you suppose their temperament's going to be? Coming out of there. God's wrath to unleash these demons who absolutely, demons hate you. Okay, you know, you hear about, I'm gonna pray to Satan and he'll give me this and he'll give me that. He's not doing it because he loves you. He is going to do that to deceive you into being his puppet. Do not ever think you're going to get anything from the devil that's going to be good for you. Because the price is far greater that you will pay. And demons hate men. And as these demons come out, they have one purpose. And that is to hurt men. Somebody says, boy, that sure is a different thing. No, that's how it's always been with demons. The demoniac of Gadara. How much of a blessing were the demons in his life? Okay, I've dealt with demon-possessed people. There's never anything good. I dealt with a person one time, demon-possessed, that I mean, it was the torture in their voice, on their face, in their life. It is just so sad and so scary. Many of your drug addicts are people that have demonic issues. Many people that are in insane asylums are demonic activity situations. I'm telling you, and you know, our solution today to deal with those kind of things is give them a shot and pretty much render them unconscious or walking around unconscious just to calm down what is going on, the rage in their life from the demons that are part of their life. And I'm telling you, that is what demons have always done. Jesus, you got to help. A demon is throwing my son in the fire, or the demons are doing, you know. Oh, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to pray to the devil, and he's going to help me out. They're throwing the son in the fire. How are they going to help you out? Oh, they can give me money. They have a purpose. The obvious torment and torture of man. As we get into this, which we won't today, it is so obvious though, God is still in control. He is. But we get an idea of what Satan and demons want to do. And they want to do it to you. I often go back to the fella. This has happened over and over again. But years ago, a young man, I want to say late teens, early 20s, in Washington, D.C., he was so miserable. He took a knife, and I remember reading about this in several news agencies. He took a knife, and he literally cut his head off. From that ear to that ear. And doctors said that's impossible. They wanted to treat it as a murder because it's impossible. You can't get that far. It's not possible. And finally, it was understood. Well, it was said. They dismissed it as, well, you know, he was on drugs or whatever. But the truth is you can't. I mean, don't try it, please. Okay? But it is understood, I understand it, that it was demons. And this has happened other times where they can't explain it. You can't kill yourself that way. You're not able to do that. You are if you're under another control. And that man, I'll never forget, I read that story over and over again, took that knife, and he cut his, literally was able to cut his head off because he was so influenced by demons. They want nothing good for you. They want nothing positive in our lives. They will, you know, you say, well, I'm going to go to a palm reader. You are begging demons to come into your life. That's what you're doing. You say, I'm gonna go to a crystal ball. You're asking for demons. You know, there are demons. I'm not. You don't hear me talk about demons very much. Because I don't. I feel dirty, Brother Hawkins. To be honest with you, it is one of the nastiest subjects in all the world to discuss demonic activity and demons. I have had demon-possessed people spit, foam at the mouth, and spit on my Bible, and spit on me, and curse me, and the nastiest presence, and the nastiest smell of sulfur, just the whole that whole thing. And I'm telling you, you want nothing to do with it. I promise you that. And so anyway, as we go into this, we deal with that really. Both of these trumpet soundings are demonic activity, and we'll talk about it next week.